brings a poor, vile sinner to his house of wine. Turns water into wine. And goes into the highways and hedges and compels vile sinners to come. All right, Mark chapter 1. Go over there with me. Mark chapter 1. These verses struck me as I was reading them. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." The Son of God, Jesus Christ, God has one only begotten Son, God manifest in the flesh. When God came to this earth, He was a preacher. That sure makes this position, it sure elevates it, doesn't it? The world calls it foolishness. I know that. And most of what goes on is foolishness spoken by fools. But the Son of God came and He was a preacher. He came preaching. Preaching is declaring. Preaching is a man standing up with God's Word declaring, "Thus saith the Lord." It's not sharing. It's not opening it up to a dialogue. You know that modern so-called churches are going to that sort of thing? Completely doing away with preaching. The Son of God came declaring, preaching, announcing something. Announcing, declaring. Now, the Scripture says, "No man spake like He spake." He preached that sermon on the mount. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard that? Huh? No preacher ever preached like He did. I'll tell you why. It's His story. It's His Word. Like you, only you can tell a story that you have experienced. Well, this is God who came from heaven to declare unto us heavenly things. He came from there. He can tell it. He could tell it. He could speak it as no other. And surely there was no preacher before Him or since. Nor will there ever be. It's His story. It's His Word. It's His gospel. And you know, when man first sinned in the garden, who came and told him the good news? It was the Lord Jesus Christ in the garden. The voice of the Lord came walking in the cool of the garden. And John, he began to preach the woman's sin. And he illustrated it by slaying a lamb. Jesus Christ, to the first sinners, came preaching the gospel. And here, when He became a man upon this earth, He came walking, declaring the gospel. Preaching the gospel. What did He preach? Look at it again. He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel. Gospel means good news. Glad tidings. When Christ was born, the angels announced glad tidings of joy. Great joy unto all peoples. For unto you is born this day a Savior. Glad tidings. Good news. Christ preached the good news of the kingdom of God. All right, that's what we're going to try to look at. The kingdom of God. This is what Christ preached. He says it twice, doesn't he? He said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand." That's what Christ preached. The kingdom, the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, At this time, when Christ was preaching, Israel was under Roman rule. Tyrannical rule. Augustus Caesar was the emperor. A wicked man, a vile man. A little while later, Nero, who had Paul's head cut off. He's the one, you read the story about, he burned believers and laughed about it while Nero fiddled. Augustus Caesar was the emperor, and wicked men like Agrippa, King Agrippa and others, Pilate, Herod, evil, wicked men, unjust judges. There were no just judges. Cruel tyrants. It was a government by evil men for evil men. And religion was worse. Religion was, all of it was on the take. Religion was owned by the Roman government, John. And they said what the Roman government told them to say. They were in their pocket. The scribes and the Pharisees. Our Lord called them. Every time the Lord spoke of the scribes and Pharisees, He said, hypocrites. Didn't. Because they were actors. They weren't true men. They were actors. That's what hypocrite meant. They were for hire. They were doing it for pay and saying whatever needed to be said and doing whatever and acting a part. When our Lord said they're full of extortion and excess, they're whited sepulchre. That's what our Lord said. John said. True preacher. I want you to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings 17. This is the state of Israel then and in our Lord's day. Long before Him, He came and when He came. 2 Kings 17. After Solomon. Solomon was a good king. A great king. After Solomon, Israel became a divided nation with many different kings. Some good, most bad. Real bad. And religion was divided. There was some truth, but it was mostly a mixture. Are you with me? 2 Kings 17. Look at this. This is awful. Verse 32. Now this is speaking of Israel that was at this time and carried away in bondage, captivity. It says, they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests. In other words, the worst fellows were the priests. Look over in 1 Kings, it says anybody that wanted to could be one. Over in 1 Kings 12, it said they weren't Levites. It didn't matter. Anybody that wanted to. Verse 33, they feared the Lord and served their own gods. And verse 34, they unto this day they do this, that same thing. They continue to this day doing the same thing. Fear the Lord and serve. That, you can't do that, can you? In other words, they seemed to fear the Lord. They talked about the Lord. They had a Bible, but they served other gods. Their God, they had other gods. Does that sound familiar? Look at the last verse here. So these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images. Their children, their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. That's the way it was in Israel of old, and that's the way it is in America today. 2010. Now you and I know that this nation at least said it was founded under the principle, one nation under God. Some of you older people remember years ago when this nation seemed to have something of the fear of God. Didn't they used to call people God-fearing? He's a God-fearing man. They said that, didn't they, about men and women. It was a compliment. It was a... Didn't they, Brother Henry? You remember, just 40 or 50 years ago, there was seemed to be some fear of God. Not anymore. It's gone. One nation under God was supposed to be under His authority, under His word, under His fear. Now, I believe, I'm quite certain of it, it's under His wrath. And the wrath of God is revealed from heaven every day. And it's not just calamities and disasters like Egypt of old. Not just those things. Those things are very obvious. But it's prosperity. Our Lord said, as in the days of Noah, nobody could believe a disaster would hit. Things were too good. And this is a government full of corrupt men and women and religion. Now, this is why our day is because of religion, because of the corruption of religion, because men have kept God's word from the people, their hirelings, and so God has given them over to a reprobate mind. That's what the Scripture said. The last verse, and I want you to turn. I'm not going to have you turn many places, but I do want you to see this, okay? Judges, the book of Judges. This is Brother John Sheasley, one of his favorite books. Judges chapter 21. Judges chapter 21. Now look at this. The very last verse. This is a sad commentary on Israel then and America today. Look at verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now you and I know what the Scripture said. There is a way that seemeth right, but it's destruction. The end is destruction and death. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And whatever man thinks is right, whatever everybody agrees is right, is wrong. Dead wrong. So that's the way it was then. That's the way it is now, isn't it? But God. You know what the next book is? Right after it said, every man, there was no king in Israel. There was no king in Israel. Everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. And it was a mess. It was a mess. Israel was in a mess. They were in bondage. They were in corruption. It was a perverted society. The priests, the prophets were all profane, Jeremiah said. They were all no good. From the top to the bottom, the sole of their feet to the top of their head, there was no soundness anywhere to be found. The next book is Ruth. God wrote this book about a little Moabite woman, little insignificant woman, and a great man named Boaz. God brought them together. And born of that little woman in an insignificant town in Israel was a man named, a child, a boy named Obed, and his son was named Jesse, and his son was king. Good news. Everything looks bad. A king is born. What's his name? David. Poor, things are going to be right now. That's what this gospel of the kingdom is. Christ came at a time when no couldn't be more perverted. And Christ Himself came and said, good news! The king is here! King's here. Isaiah chapter 32 said, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. The king is here. That's what Christ came. He came preaching himself. Good news. He said this. He said, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, it doesn't come with observation.
It's revelation.
The Jews, you know, they were looking for a king. And Scripture, Brother Stan, Scripture says he'll be born in Bethlehem. Oh, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be smallest among the nations, out of thee shall he come who to be ruler in Israel. Well, that's where he was born. When he came, and they said, he can't be a king born in the stable. He can't be a king riding on a donkey. Zechariah said that. Behold, thy king cometh, meek and lowly, having salvation just and having salvation riding on the foal of an ass. Your king's here. No, that's not our king. He's going to come and sit on a throne in Jerusalem, in the middle of Jerusalem, and set up a nation of Israel and wear a crown. No, he's not. No, he's not. It doesn't come with observation like that. Pomp and show. You won't look, they're building the temple. Well, let them build it. Christ is not going to come to that. Look, they're building the throne of David for the Messiah to sit on. He's not going to sit on that. No, it doesn't come with observation. Christ said, the kingdom of God is among you. Where? That's just like they were, I know my brother will rise again, the resurrection. He said, I am. I am that I am. This is God. This is the King. Come by revelation. He makes himself known to his subject. I'm getting way ahead of myself. The kingdom of God. To have a kingdom, you got to have a king, don't you? Very plain. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, and boy, do we have a king. Listen to this. Psalm 145. And there are so many scriptures. Sammy, I started looking in about verses of scriptures to read about the king. I wrote down scores of them. I just had to choose one. I wanted to read them all. There's so many. That's what this book is about. Listen to this. Psalm 145. He says, I'll extol thee, my God, O my King. He says, verse 13, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your glorious majesty of your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. King, we have a king. Though men can't see him, though men don't acknowledge him, we do have a king. Meaning, now people don't know much about a king today, because there are none. They're little figureheads. One of these days, they're going to put a crown on that fellow named William over in England. Prince William, they're going to put a crown on him. There's going to be a big pomp and show, the biggest, most elaborate ceremony you'll ever see of crowning the monarch. He can't rule anything. He won't be able to tell anybody anything. He's just a figurehead, isn't he? Not this king. There is a king. Absolute authority. Absolute sovereign. Meaning, overall. Absolute monarch. Listen to Daniel. Listen to this. This is wonderful. In Daniel chapter 4, there was a king named Nebuchadnezzar. And he thought he was something. He thought he was something. He had his little kingdom. And he said, look what I've done. And God said, I'm going to bring you down and turn you into an animal. And he said, you're going to know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and He giveth it to whomsoever He will. He setteth up, He casts down. He raiseth up, He brings down. By me kings rule, the king said. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Listen to this. And old Nebuchadnezzar found out, didn't he? He found out. He's reduced to an animal until he finally said, now my reason returned unto me. Now I know that it's Him that liveth forever and ever. I praise the Most High that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, whose kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth to Him are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to His will. Man talks about free will. They don't know that there's a king. And He's not running for king. He doeth according to His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? That's a king, Brother Henry. Absolute. Oh, listen. You know, Wednesday night, David said, my heart indicts a good matter. Bubbling up. He said, I'm speaking about things touching the king. Let me tell you about the king. David said, he that ruleth among men must be just, ruling in the fear of the Lord. We have a just king, a fair king, a righteous king. Scriptures calls him holy and righteous. A king shall reign in righteousness. Scripture says mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other in a person. He came to this earth and He reigned and ruling right now is reigning and ruling in righteousness. A just God and a Savior. Jesus Christ. We do have a King. Just and righteous. Just and holy is His name. I thought about this. Can you imagine America being under a just and holy and righteous King right now? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't you love that for your children, for your sake, for your children's sake, your grandchildren? Wouldn't you love that? That there's a man, I mean a believer sitting on the throne, a real godly man who consults God's will, John, a man who actually consults God before he does anything. And everything he said, he does it in the fear of God, the honor of God. A merciful man, a kind man, a gracious man, a loving, a Christ-like man. Can you imagine what it would be like? Someone asked me one time, if you could live in any generation throughout history, any point in time, when would it be? And I would have loved to have actually being right there with the Lord Jesus Christ when He came. Hear His voice. But those were horrible times. Horrible. But I thought about it and I thought, I'd like to live when Solomon reigns. And I'll show you why. In Solomon, 1 Kings, go over there with me. 1 Kings, Solomon is a great type of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings 4. Solomon is the son of David. Okay? David was a great king. Wonderful man. A godly man. Solomon, his son, was even greater than he. That God said there was none like him. And God called his son the son of David. Because Solomon is such a wonderful type. And I wish we had another hour, but we don't. But just look at some of this concerning Solomon. In verse 21, 1 Kings 4, it says, Solomon reigned over all kingdoms, from the river of the lands of the Philistines unto the border of Egypt. Look at verse 24. He had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, over all kings. He had dominion over all kings. He was the king of kings. The Lord Jesus Christ, I reign, is King of kings. He said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. That's the good news, I reign. Nothing, nobody reigns over anything. Nobody's in control of anything but Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? There's not an atom on this earth that Jesus Christ doesn't give orders to. Did you hear that? It's good news. Christ said, King's here to save you. I've come. Say, good news. Kingdom of God is among you. Kingdom of God. Some people are subjects in this king. If you're a subject of this king, you've got it made. If he's your king. Look at this. Verse 24 said, he had peace on all sides round about him. While Solomon reigned, not one arrow flew through the air. Ever. Everybody feared Solomon. And Solomon, God through Solomon said, let there be absolute peace in your kingdom. There's not an arrow going to fly by day or by night. Look at this. Read on. In verse 25, it said, Judah and Israel dwelt safely. Those that were divided were united. And it says, every man was under his vine and under his fig tree all the days of Solomon. Never lacked for anything. Peace, prosperity. Wouldn't you like to live then, Sam? Huh? We really do. We do. There's not one thing can happen to you or your family unless Jesus Christ gives the order. That's the good news, Sam. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, you'll never be without. He said, I'll give you a vine and a fig tree. Peace that no man can take away by order of the king. And none can stay his hand. And he giveth his angels charge over you, over your children. Good news. Good news. A king reigns. A greater than Solomon. John is here. Much greater than Solomon. Go back and read this chapter. Solomon's provisions for one day. The table of Solomon. I love to think about this. Solomon was so, it goes on down, well, look at that. Down in verse 29. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart as the sand of the seashore. In other words, he was so generous, so kind, so good and merciful to everybody. Come one, come all, as the sands of the sea. Let the whole world come. Solomon said, come on, you can eat at my table. Well, is there enough? Is there enough? Read about it. The whole place was at his dominion. Killed the fatted 1,000 calves. Let everyone come. Solomon had largeness of heart like the sand of the seashore. Jesus Christ came. Then Jesus Christ came. He said, a greater than Solomon is here. Good news! I reign, Christ said, over all. And I've come to save you, my people. I'm your king and I've come for you. And come hell or high water, it can't touch you because I reign. See, that's the good news in the gate. That's the good news. We have a God who is God. God who reigns and rules. Say unto the heathen, your God reigns. And God has given all things into the hands of His beloved Son. It's called the kingdom of His dear Son. And put His people in Him. Oh my. Kept by Him. This is my next point. He came, He born. I had so many points. Born a king. Lived a king. Died a king. Came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Triumphant. Ascended his throne. What was it? A cross! That's where he ascended his throne. That's where he gave the orders. Death to death. Captivity to him who leads captive. The end of sin. The purging of sin. On Calvary, on the throne, he gave his mandate. Thus saith the king, sins are gone. That was his throne on this earth. Then he arose. God raised him from the dead. And it says he sat him down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And the earth, he sitteth on the circle of the earth. He's not coming to some little throne in Jerusalem. He's right now on the throne. It's called a throne of grace. My, my. reigning, ruling, King of kings, Lord of lords. He's now king, and he's coming again as a king. And he has subjects. Let me close with this. He has subjects. I've only been 30 minutes. But the Lord, the king has subjects. To have a kingdom, you've got to have a king. There's a king. A true king. The world can't see him. They didn't see him when he came, and they don't see him now. They didn't believe him when he came. They don't believe him now. Who does? All that he reveals himself to. He wasn't coming to try to get people to elect him king. He's coming calling out his subjects. He said, I know my own and will be known of mine. He said, I have come. You have I chosen that you might know me. I'm he. Lord, Savior, King, Kings, Lord, your righteousness, the just one. He came and he has subject, true servants, true subject, loyal subject, who bow and worship him and him alone. That's how you know him. They're like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Who said, we will not bow to that image of Nebuchadnezzar. We will not do that. So Nebuchadnezzar said, okay, I'll put you in a furnace of fire. They said, okay, we'll go. And so he cast them in there. Lo and behold, their king was in the furnace. John, their king, was in the furnace. He said, the flame shall not consume you. Consume me. And they came out of that furnace. So shall we. These fiery trial. There's a king in there with you, Bonnie. Yes, sir. He said, I'll never leave you. You might go through fiery trial, but you're not alone. Right there with you. They have a king who's touched with the feeling of our infirmities at all points. He's able to succor them that come to him, to help them. He went through it. King of kings, through the furnace, fiery trials. He has subjects that bow to him and him alone. They don't give him lip service. They love him from the heart. They don't just say in their head, oh, he's Lord. Oh, they know it. They believe in their hearts. They serve him. Loyal subjects are true to the king's honor and glory. Oh, yeah. They'll die defending the king's honor and glory. That's how you know them. Patrick, that's how you know them. True servants. They stand up for the honor and the glory of the king. Christ has such servants. His cause. And they are obedient. They believe his word. They receive his word. They say, like David, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every other false way. Let God my King, Christ my King, be true. He is true. The way, the truth, and the life. Everybody else is a liar. That's his subjects. They're loyal subjects. True subjects. I love the story of David. David, a type of Christ as well. David one time made a decree. And it cost the people something. It was a sacrifice. He said, let nobody eat anything or drink anything for such and such a time. And we're going to pray about this. This is the way it's going to be. And it said all the people, they agreed. And it went on to say, because everything the king did pleased them. Everything he said was well, altogether pleasing to them because they loved him. Didn't understand. It was a sacrifice, but it must be good. Oh, we have a glorious king. The king. And everything he does, his subject, whatsoever the king does, pleases his people. Lastly, there's a king. Capital K. He has some subjects. He has a kingdom. He has his people. How? Why are they his subjects? Well, they're born in this kingdom. They're born in this kingdom. They like Christ, as he is, So are they. They're born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Just like brothers are loyal to one another more than anybody else, aren't they, Sam? Stick by one another through thick and thin. Got the same blood, don't you? You die defending one another. That's this kingdom. They're all born into this kingdom. They're brothers. They're brothers. Blood brothers. And they all die defending their Lord. They're born in this kingdom. And He comes calling them. They're born. And it's a spiritual kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. Our Lord said this one time. He said, My kingdom is not of this world. That, if men would just stop and think about that, that's all revealing. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, we'd fight. We would fight for all the causes and so forth. But there's one cause. God's glory. Christ's glory. The cause of God and truth. The gospel. For Christ's sake. Cause of Christ. It's a spiritual kingdom, and it is a peaceable kingdom. It is. Our Lord has peace in His church, peace among His people. And He, someday, all enemies will be put away. It's a rich kingdom. It's a rich kingdom. Right now, His people may not have much of this worldly good, but they're rich in faith. They're rich in fruit. Fruit. Fruitful. Love, joy, peace. You can't find it like this anywhere else, can you? You read with me, there's a scattering of corn on a mountain. Here a little, here a little, there a little. But you find the true church of Christ where Christ reigns and is preached, you'll find peace. You'll find love. Gabe said, thank the Lord for these brethren. He thanked the Lord for us. For one another. Don't you? Peace. Peace in the kingdom. I had a little kingdom out there on the farm one time. And had horses and every kind of almost, except pigs. But horses and chickens and ducks and cats and dogs and all that. And I insisted that everybody get along. You know, the horses would kick and bite and that didn't sit well with me, Kelly. And the dogs and the cats, eventually even the dogs and the cats got along. That's right. My dog, whose dogs are bloody, you know, carnivorous animals, he would lie down with the chickens. One time when he was very young, he got one of those chickens and killed it. And Ron, it was the last chicken he ever killed. And from that day forward, he loved chickens. When I got through with him, he loved chickens, Brandon. Oh, he said, I was like, they're my buddies. Our Lord is King. He reigns. He rules in His kingdom. He said, let there be peace. There is peace. A little spite here and there, some schisms and division, but it won't last. Our Lord, it won't last. His kingdom will last. And He said there's going to be peace and love and joy, and He'll remove everyone that is a problem. Oh, let me not be a problem. It's a peaceable kingdom. It's a glorious kingdom. We've seen a little bit of His glory, haven't we? A little bit. The gospel preached. It's a glorious thing if you see Christ in it. And, oh my. Well, I hadn't been there. I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, so I can't. It's going to be. And it's an everlasting kingdom. Good news. Christ came preaching good news. King reigns. I'm here. I've come to make peace for you by the blood of my cross, to ascend my throne and give the order for your sins to be gone. And I'll ascend unto glory and sit down. This is going to happen. He told His disciples that over and over again. It's going to happen. Because me and my Father planned it, purposed it before the world began in a covenant. And it will come to pass. And He said, I will finish the work given me. I will ascend my throne. And He did. And He said, and I will come again to receive you unto myself. I'm King. Good news. Kingdom of God. Are you a member? Are you a subject? If you are, smile. Okay, Brother Gay.
Let's turn to hymn number 143 and stand together.